Live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn about a lack of sleep affecting our long-term health. University of Copenhagen. Quinoa. It's a gluten-free, very high-quality protein. In fact, it's a perfect quality protein, and I'll share more on that from Life Extension. Poor air quality increases a patient's risk of a heart attack from the Medical Center Heart Institute. Also, just one energy drink, just one, can boost your heart disease risk, especially if you're a young person. The Mayo Clinic. And cellular stress process identified in cardiovascular disease, Duke University, and more. Then we're going to take a look at, does fear lead to fascism, a culture of fear, and the epigenetics of terror? John Whitehead, Op-Ed News. All those individuals who gave for the Haitian Relief Fund, tens of billions of dollars all told, didn't end up helping the Haitians. Sure did help the Clinton Foundation and all those NGOs, but not the Haitian public. So what happened to those Haitians? Well, I'll tell you the little journey they took, almost 4,000 miles, to go from where there was no work and dire poverty in Haiti to where there was some work and dire poverty in Brazil, and how that's just the next trafficking in human misery. Also, I'm going to take a look at glyphosate, and Dr. Alicia is going to give us an insight on that. And 2.6 billion pounds, that's with a B, billion pounds of Monsanto's glyphosate sprayed on U.S. farms from Mary Ellen Custon from the Environmental Working Group. What does that mean, all that pesticide? You don't see it being sprayed. But does it impact you? Oh, yeah. And also we have Hillary Clinton announcing that if she's elected, she'll shut down 50,000 public schools. Well, what will that do to the students or to the teachers or to the communities? I'll discuss that. My guest in the second part of our program, as he comes on once a month to give us a projection forward, is Gerald Salante. Many people understand Gerald to be one of the foremost trends analysts in the world. He has been uncannily accurate. So he's going to give us what's going to be happening in the new year. I look forward to sharing that with him, Gerald Salante. I realize a lot of people don't have computers, especially older people, or if there is one, they're not always up to date on all the different ways to use it to benefit from it. So if you are listening to this radio program from a terrestrial station, a land-based station, that's fine. But the vast majority, 99.9% of the people listening are listening over the internet or over listening devices. And if this is a good time to write this number down, because that way you can always hear this anywhere, noon Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and Tuesday evenings on the Progressive Commentary Hour at 7 o'clock by any form of telephone. And here's the number. Please write this down. 712-775-6850. 712-775-6850. Also today, Green candidate Jill Stein. She's going to tell us about why 40 million young Americans should vote green and why you're worth more than a banker. Also, more floods for the north of England. Thousands are left without power or have to leave their homes as heavy rain continues, and it's going to get worse. Why? Because they're expecting the North Pole, the Arctic Circle, to actually go above freezing in the next couple of days. So isn't that a good thing? No, that's a very bad thing. Because when it would normally be ice and really deep, thick ice on the entire continent, instead it warms up, and that warm air goes up and travels south. And hence Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and England get slammed with the most amount of rain in those countries' entire history. People are unprepared. More on that. Also, there is a debate right now about, should water be a human right? Should we have a right to be able to turn on a tap and have a glass of clean water? I believe it is a human right. But whole countries believe it isn't. And therefore, you should be charged for it. It should be privatized. And if you can't afford to pay, they should first bring down the pressure, so you don't have enough pressure to take a shower, don't have pressure to clean anything. It's just a dribble. And that's your warning, and then cut it off completely. One country that doesn't seem to stand up at this moment against this and just go out and just raise hell and protest and call for a general strike is Ireland. Now, you have some strong activists in Ireland. They're listening right now, but they're not the majority. But there is a discussion. So Cormac Lucy of the Sunday Times says people who don't pay water charges, their water bills, should get their water cut off. All right. What do you think that does to the person? Have you ever tried going without water? I can introduce you to some people in Detroit, tens of thousands, that went without water. And it's not a pretty sight. Also, there's an introduction to hear a CDC scientist, Bill Thompson, issue a statement addressing his regret that he and his co-authors omitted, quote, statistically significant information in a 2004 study on the MMR vaccine causing autism. Why do you need to hear this? Because it's amazing how many people who call themselves liberal are fully supporting mandatory vaccine, support Big Pharma, are not challenging Monsanto, support big medical industrial complex. Now, they will challenge big, let's say, the military industrial complex, but not Big Pharma complex, which dwarfs them. The biggest complex in the world, the most powerful group in the world, representing $3.5 trillion annually, is Big Medicine. And behind Big Medicine is vaccine. And behind the vaccine are pharmaceutical companies. And who controls all of medicine today? Pharmaceutical companies. So we should take a look at what Dr. Thompson said, because what he said about his research shows that Dr. Andrew Wakefield was innocent, was honest, and was telling the truth. That meant then that the Times of London and other publications who were attacking him, including Anderson Cooper and CNN, were all wrong. Do any of them have now the character and honesty to say we were wrong? Of course not. That's not how the game is played. So we will tell you the truth of how people who betrayed African Americans, and I'd like to see the rage. You will not see the rage in the leaders. And I personally believe that the African-American community has been grossly used, manipulated, betrayed, and controlled by a handful of political, economic, megalomaniac, narcissist, opportunist. There needs to be a whole new revolution within the African-American and Latino communities at the grassroots level and take the power back, because your children have been harmed. Many are dead. You trusted Big Pharma. You trusted the doctors. You trusted the CDC. They played you. They used you. And now, my belief, you should have a general strike. Close down whole parts of America until these people are ousted until lawsuits and class action lawsuits are filed. Remember, listen up. You can sue an individual doctor or scientist if it can be shown that they broke the law. You can't sue them. They have indemnification if what they were doing was official government policy. This was not. They knew that there was a 325%+ increase in autism in African-American boys under the age of 36. They hid it. They tried to destroy it. They engaged in obstruction of justice. They met in one of the people's offices with black garbage bags. They stuffed the garbage bags with documents to destroy it. And Dr. Thompson thought, maybe I shouldn't throw all these documents away. Maybe this is a violation of the law. What if I'm asked to support these through the Freedom of Information Act? He was right. It is against the law. So I would like to see tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of lawsuits hit these people and the government agencies. The media will not be on your side. The New York Times will not be on your side. CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Fox will not be on your side. And much of Pacifica will not be on your side if you listen to the individual host. Now, that's their prerogative. That's their right. It's your right to fight back. Don't look at your leaders to fight back. They are so compromised. When, you know, you've got some leaders who are not. Cornel West is not. Glenn Ford is not. But you need to get these people suing. That's the only way. Through discovery and depositions, you're going to see how big this conspiracy is. It's huge. Huge. And we'll talk more about this on an upcoming show. How do I know? Got an awful lot of film footage, secret film footage. So let them lie today. Let them lie under deposition. Let them lie under official testimony, because we'll be able to prove perjury. Also, our broken food system and how to fix it. Union of Concerned Scientists have something to say about this. So you see, we have a lot to share. Let's begin. Stress kills. The more stress you're under, the quicker it kills you. That's why you should pay very careful attention to how significant something is in your life to allow it to be chronically upsetting you. Now, we're all going to be impacted by some form of acute stress. You get the phone call, a loved one's died, something's happened. That's completely normal to react and to be stressed for a period of time because it was unexpected. It's that day-to-day stress where we get upset about something and we can't let it go. That hurts us. This is from Duke University. Quote, combining the investigative tools of genetics, epigenetics, and the metabolomics, a Duke University medical research team has identified a new molecular pathway involved in heart attacks and death from heart disease. The researchers publishing in the journal PLOS Genetics found that stress on a component of cells called the endoplasmic reticulum, or ER, is associated with risk of future heart events, and it can be detected in bits of molecular material circulating in the blood. Quote, ER stress has long been linked to type 1 diabetes and Parkinson's disease, among others, but this is the first indication that it's also playing a role in common heart attacks and death from heart disease, says Dr. Shaw, the professor of medicine and on the faculty at the Molecular Physiology Institute at Duke. It's also exciting that we are able to measure this ER stress in a small drop of blood, providing a potential way to intercede and lower the risk of a major cardiovascular event. So, what's the takeaway message? Why is this important? Because we cannot eliminate stress. We live in environments that provoke a lot of stress. What we can do as a part of normal living is begin to learn techniques that when something happens that's outside of our control, we don't overreact to it. Now, appropriate reactions are always fine. Inappropriate reactions then create this marker, and that puts us at risk. simple things each day like meditation in the morning, meditation in the afternoon. By the way, a nap for 15 minutes to 20 minutes in the afternoon will really de-stress the body. Being able to keep a list and then throughout the day, maybe twice a day, change the list. Things you hope to get done, things you did get done, and then look at what you got done. Those are all positive. If you don't look at what you got done and you think of the things you didn't, you're liable to get stressed saying, oh, you know, not enough hours in a day. Well, yeah, there were enough hours. You got them done. Some things you'll redo tomorrow, and it's okay. It's carrying the stress of disappointment, carrying the stress of not feeling complete enough, or the stress that somehow the bus has left. You were distracted, you weren't ready to get on it, and indeed that is the case. Not today, but last week at a church up on 86 and Weston Avenue, I did what I personally think is my most powerful and insightful lecture in probably 30 years. And it's being worked on as we speak. And I'm inviting six philosophers from around the world to be interviewed, and they could go in, they're going to be dropped in there also in their thoughts. But one of the highlights of that is that we keep thinking that whatever we've shared with someone at some point in our life that was remarkable and wonderful and exciting and filled with passion and love and creativity, that later on we can redo that. You can't. Nothing from the past can ever be done again. Part of our stress, part of this kind of forlorn sense of incompleteness, this unrequited need to go back and redo something. You can't. You can't redeem what was not done or done and then you want to do it over. You have to start all over. Just start fresh. Start with a whole new idea. I'm in this moment at this time. I'm this with these people. And here's what we can do today. The trouble is we like to bring yesterday's best moments and worst into today. Where do you think that fits? Because today's a different day. We change. We grow. People evolve. People have a person in their life or work in their life or something in their life that was important and worked for them, harmonized at that moment, now they're in a different place. There's a different need for different harmonizing. And we don't like that. That scares us because it runs against that constant conditioning, everything is forever. It isn't. The only thing that's forever, that's eternal, is the human spirit and the energy of life, which is the human spirit. Everything else has an expiration date. That scares us, that stresses us, especially when we wake up one day and realize how much of our life we have ahead of us compared to what we have been through, and have we lived it to the best we could. This creates stress. So this is when we have to reposition our mind so we start looking at what we do each day from a more positive perspective. And then we intentionally put things in our life each day that allow us to feel better about ourselves. The fact that we can engage in acts of kindness to strangers. Not because it's going to make an enormous difference in the person's life, but because it honors your spirituality to make sure that you don't forget that you're also here on this earth to serve other people, not just yourself. My generation, the most narcissistic, selfish, self-absorbed generation in history, the baby boomers, we thought we could do it all ourselves and it would last forever. Well, we did it all and it didn't last. And now there's just one big junkyard of damaged merchandise. You got to start over. We have to start over every day and just say, today's a new day. I'm not taking yesterday's stress into today. What I didn't get done yesterday, that's all right. What did I get done? How did I live yesterday? What did I do that was good? What did I eat that was good? How did many times did I smile? Did I find things I could laugh at? Could I laugh at myself? Did I find joy in the simple things? Did I make my life simpler, less complicated? Was I more honest in my communication? All those are things that can de-stress us. And then start over. Harmonize today. All right? Doesn't matter how dirty you were. Take your shower. Feel good about yourself today. Because if not, you could end up having a heart attack. And now we know the science to show that every one of those things that you couldn't let go of, anger, jealousy, resentment, envy, greed, they kill you. Just one energy drink can boost your heart disease risk in young adults from the Mayo Clinic. Quote, drinking one 16-ounce, that's a small energy drink, boosts blood pressure and stress hormone responses in young, healthy adults. And this was presented before the American Heart Association Scientific Sessions. And that energy drink could, quote, trigger new cardiovascular events, meaning heart attack or stroke. Researchers studied 25 healthy young adults with no known cardiovascular risk factors. And then they took a look at these. They gave them either an energy drink, your typical energy drinks, which are loaded with sugar and caffeine, or they gave them a placebo. And then they measured the blood levels of norepinephrine about 30 minutes after the drink. And by the way, norepinephrine, just so you know, that's your fight or flight hormone. That's not good. That increases blood pressure and the heart's ability to contract, and it modulates heart rate and breathing in response to perceived stress. So just imagine all the things you do in a day that creates unnecessary stress. And then that means you put yourself at a greater risk. Now, on top of that, you have an energy drink. Now you really put yourself at risk of a heart attack or stroke. You want an energy drink? Simple. Have a glass of orange juice, apple juice, grape juice. That's an energy drink, and it won't hurt you. And that's why we have so many young people today who have high blood pressure. Also, from the Intermountain Medical Center Heart Institute, poor air quality increases patients' risk of heart attack. Quote, people with heart disease face an increased risk of a serious heart attack during poor air quality days. And this was presented at the American Heart Association Scientific Session. They studied 16,000 patients, and that's out in Salt Lake City, by the way. And they found that those who were around polluted air had the greatest number of heart attacks. Think of the poor people living in China or right now in Indonesia or in large parts of Brazil. They're just destroying. The Brazilian government is so utterly corrupt from the present on down, and they don't care about their own country. Everyone's exploiting every last nickel they can out of it. But in the process, they're destroying 80,000 acres of rainforest per day. Not a good idea, because that's the lungs of the planet, and now they're creating the desertification, actual desert, where there was a lush rainforest. All for greed. And nobody wants to be the person who says, no, this isn't right. This is the commons. We should share this. This is important to leave Mother Earth alone. Nope, that's not going to happen anywhere on the planet as long as you got greedy people. And you've got greedy people everywhere. And the more power they have, the more they feel they have a right to use that power for their own needs. And then they create pollution. And then we breathe the pollution, or we go work in the pollution, and then it creates heart attacks. And we don't hold any of these people, industries, accountable. Finally, a lack of sleep affects long-term health. University of Copenhagen, new research from the university, has found that maintaining a good night's sleep is important for our future health. And this was published in the International Journal of Epidemiology. Quote, this study shows that sleep affects our ability to maintain a healthy lifestyle. And when we sleep, when sleep deteriorates, we are more likely to make unhealthy lifestyle choices. But there's also other research shows that those who are working night shifts, those who are working over long periods of hours, they can knock upwards of 8 years off their lifespan. That's 8 years. So let's say that your normal lifespan right now is around 76. Well, you just knocked off. Now you're in your 60s, and that's just sleep. What if you also were not exercising? Knock off another 3. What if you're highly stressed? Knock off 5. Now you know why the average is the average. Because those who are getting a good night's sleep, those who are not stressed, those who are happy, those who are making healthy choices and exercising, they're living to be in their late 90s or 100. Others are living into their 50s. We forget what an average is. Finally, just mention quinoa. I think people should be consuming quinoa because it's just one of the best plant-based proteins we have. It's low in fat. It has a high protein content, and it's a vegetable seed, and people call it a grain, but it's not the same as the other grains. It has a very low glycemic index, and it's low in sodium, and it's completely gluten-free. And quinoa, Q-U-I-N-O-A, quinoa, contains a range of nutrients, including riboflavin, which is vitamin B2, and quercetin, and tocophenols, and polyphenols, and saponins, and phytosterols, and minerals, and vitamins, and fiber. And it also has a potent compound called hoxybenzoic acids, which are important. So all in all, it's just one of the healthiest grains that you could possibly consume, and it helps lower cardiovascular disease. So, and quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, it's abundant in quinoa, and that helps target blood pressure and hypertensives. So if you have high blood pressure, quinoa is a great grain to consume. And it gives you lots of good energy. And it's got all 9 essential amino acids, those that must derive from the diet. These are the building blocks of the protein that we need in our body. So that's the latest on health and nutrition. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a brief break. Please stay with us.
Standing here looking at you. Well, let me tell you that it hurts so bad. It makes me feel so sad. It makes me hurt so bad to see you again. Like needles and pins, people say been making out okay. She's in love.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. We're going to be going to our guest in just a few moments. Just two little program announcements. One is that we can use a ride next week because I'm going to be filming in New York up at the Buddhist Academy in Manhattan, up on the Upper West Side. I'm going to be filming Professor Robert Thurman, among other individuals, for this very important lecture I gave. And so if you can help, we have a lot of equipment to move up there. A car is more than adequate. Just call Valerie in my office at 646-926-5422. That is on the 5th of January, 9 a.m., we're meeting and going to filming several people that day. Then off to Arizona to film Dr. Gabriel Cousins, wonderful human being, very wise person. And now I want you to hear what Dr. Jill Stein has to say that I think would help a lot of the young people in this country realize you have the power in numbers and intensity of energy to make change. And so few are doing anything about that. Time for that wake-up call.
How do you get the attention to your cause? How do you get followers? How do you fight back against, as you accurately assess, a formidable machine?
Well, here's one way you do it. There are 40 million young people and not so young people who are in debt, college debt, with no way out. These are indentured servants, and the jobs aren't there. And guess what? They're not coming back. The jobs, you know, that have recovered are low-wage, part-time, insecure, temporary jobs. These are lousy, and there's absolutely no sign that this is going to get better. There are many signs that it's going to continue getting worse, especially as we get the Trans-Pacific Partnership that the Democrats and the Republicans are fighting for. So, you know, we need to get the word out. Put it this way. If those 40 million young people get into their heads the wild idea that they can come out in the November 2016 election and cancel their debt, they can actually do that, because 40 million of them is a plurality of a three-way vote. Mm-hmm. They could actually do that. And who's better prepared to get the word out and better networked than that generation, who could spread that news like a wildfire and turn out 40 million irate young people who are determined to go on the record to cancel debt? We're the only campaign that will do that. Bernie would make college free. Hillary says she would do it, although, you know, not really. But we are the only campaign that will actually cancel student debt, that would use quantitative easing.
Oh, so you're saying the difference between your proposal and Senator Sanders is
canceling debt.
He's saying he would make it free going forward. Right. You would cancel the debt.
Cancel the debt.
I would agree with that.
Let's
put this in proper perspective. Wall Street was given a total of $21 trillion. Citigroup alone was given over $2.3 trillion. Goldman Sachs was given $824 billion. And there was also quantitative easing that was given. So they did not open up new factories. They did not de-ghettoize American cities. They did not seek ways of feeding America's hungry children or fixing what is wrong with our educational system. All they did was exploit the fact that they had unlimited amounts of money they could get from the Federal Reserve at zero interest for their own use. So why not forgive all student debt this time and then set a two-tier system? One, state schools that are free. Person just pays the basic expenses like food, lodging, but the tuition is free. And two, private schools where, if that's what you want, that's your right, but you pay for it. And that way we, for those who want a quality education, and by the way, there's this whole myth that the only people who can get a quality education must go to a private Ivy League school. Not true. You have outstanding teachers and students at state schools, and a lot of people should be even examining whether they should be going to college at this time and incurring debt. And I don't believe most people should be going to college at this point. In historical times, yes, because that was one guarantee that put you out of poverty. The more education you had in specific fields, the more likely you would to be able to have a quality of life. That is not true today. In fact, it's just the opposite. The universities are not giving you better education today. They're not better preparing you for the real world. They're not getting you to be more critical in your thinking. To the contrary, what they're doing is they're building huge gymnasiums and food marts inside the schools and all these unnecessary to educational accommodations to which you pay. And at the end, you're paying for everything. They're just passing it on to you. But also there's a huge amount of debt that the federal government is profiting from, plus all these loans that you can't get out of. So why not simply forgive it all? Let everyone start from scratch and hopefully learn some lessons. But I believe that what the most important thing for the future would be for a lot of people would be first take an honest look where the best places live. New York City's not one of them. It's a torturous place. It used to be one of the greatest places in the world. It is not today, unless you're very wealthy. And I don't believe that anyone should put themselves into some form of debt peonage to live there. Same is true with San Francisco. It's just one big bubble, economic real estate bubble, because of Silicon Valley. So many of the places historically you would have wanted to have moved to, you should rethink. There are much better communities around the United States that are not expensive, have quality of life, from schools to social programs to job opportunities. Secondly, what skills do you actually need in order for the new economy? Because we have a new economy, and a lot of those are based upon bartered and fair exchange, and it's a different craft schools, specific forms of educational classes, so you can master an area but not have to take everything else that's unnecessary. Then when the economy changes, I don't believe it will. I think everything's going to get measurably worse. At least you won't be carrying debt. Big difference between if you don't have a job and you have debt versus you have a job and you have debt. Big difference. And who's paying the debt? You, your mother, your grandmother. Someone's going to pay it. And Jill Stein's saying, forgive it. I agree. This one time. Now, before we go to our guests, let's hear about this flooding. For those of you who still don't believe in global warming, this is another wake-up call.
Fire and water in Radcliffe near Bury as the River Irwell spread through industrial estates and housing estates. It looked like the flood came fast without time to get in the car and go. This is the River Irwell further north, where the flood rose up through the foundations of this former pub. The streets of Worley and Lancashire look like the fells as relentless rain pours into the Ribble Valley.
Nothing else I can do. The fire brigade have been, they've showed up round the back, they put sandbags down for us. The back door's holding. I've just got a small stream going through my lounge and out through the front door.
The high street submerged as the River Calder burst its banks. People have complained there aren't enough sandbags. Around 50 people have been rescued from their homes. Some 600 are being urged to evacuate. 100 soldiers are also here, preparing for the worst.
And that means supporting the work of the police, the Environment Agency, and all the other people that are now deployed out here. And we're working alongside them, and we'll continue to do so for as long as it takes.
According to the Environment Agency, every river in Lancashire is at a record height. This is Delph. The government's emergency committee met again this morning. Hebden Bridge in West Yorkshire was already underwater by then. Almost all the country's temporary flood defences have gone to Cumbria, where the flood siren has sounded again.
Now, why is this important? Because the environmental scientists, those who are honest, like Paul Beckwith and others, have known that they've been understating the severity of climate change, not wanting to create fear in people. That means that the government of Wales and Ireland, Scotland, United Kingdom, each one of these provinces could have warned the people and could have put into place measures before all this happened. Not one single community anywhere, not one, not a single town did a damn thing to prevent this, because nobody wanted to believe their time was up. They had reached the expiration date on being impacted by climate. On Christmas Day, Dallas had a huge tornado, killed 11 people. They're still counting. Devastated a whole area. Never happened before. They're having enormous floods in South America. Over a million people have been asked to leave. Now we're being told in England today, even more people are being told that they're going to be flooded because the weather pattern is getting worse. It's not ending. So when we talk about the impact of weather and that we're now in chaos theory, this is it. Add on to that, governmental hubris, having a committee. We don't need any more committees anywhere in the world for anything, in my opinion. We've had the truth long enough, but we don't want to work on it. So we'll say we need another 50 years of studying to see whether cigarette smoking really causes cancer. Who needed the study? The people who are dying and died of cancer, or the people that didn't want you to stop smoking? And that's the way our systems work. So we're going to get hit in at least 27 states in the United States with such terrible weather that it will make living there virtually a challenge. Texas, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Idaho, Kansas, Colorado are some of the states. Georgia, Florida are added into that. Alabama, and they're going to be just with these disasters occurring. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. It won't get better. But people don't want you to freak and go move anywhere because then there goes the tax base, and there goes with the tax base, then there goes the funding for their bureaucracies and their programs, whether well spent or foolishly spent. And so they just don't tell the truth. Well, California, it isn't coming back. You're going to be in a permanent drought. People listening right now, you won't live long enough to outlive the drought. So you can still find water, though it has to be restricted by 25%. In another 5 years, you're going to see a massive migration out. By that time, the people are finally forced out because of natural disaster. Well, first they'll cry that they're victims of what? Nature? Or their own inability to make a decision and get out of harm's way. And then you'll have, where are they going to go? Where are you going to assimilate? How are you going to get there? We should be planning these strategies now. That's my opinion. In a moment, we'll hear what Gerald Celente has to say about this. But I wanted you to hear this about how they're actually discussing turning off people's water in Ireland. Now, here's the issue. Of course, water is a human right. But why isn't the whole damn country up in arms about this and protesting and shutting down the government, refusing to pay your taxes, refusing to pay any bill, go on general strike, no bill gets paid, no electric bill, no cable bill, no cell phone bill, no bill gets paid as long as you feel that you're allowing private interests to come in there and privatize your water, or to say if you can't pay for the water, you don't drink any water, you don't bathe any water. If you can't stand up for yourself, who's supposed to? I'm curious, who exactly is supposed to have the courage you lack? Who's supposed to challenge what you're afraid of? Who's supposed to stand in front of authority while you're staying comfortably at home and bitching about it instead of doing something about it? Listen in.
Fixing this. I think this government is going to just kick to touch and hope the problem lies low for a bit until the next election. I think it's really going to fall to the next election, the next government rather, to make a fundamental decision. Either they follow Rory's utopian vision of water being a public good and let's make everything free for everybody, or they double down on Irish water and they say we have to increase the uptake, the rate at which people pay, and we'll have to introduce and increase sanctions for people who don't pay.
Like what?
Reduced water pressure for those who don't pay, eventually leading to a cap, a cut-off of water if it goes beyond a certain point, and maybe start with elected representatives who are being paid for by the state already.
Given the scale of the protests that we've seen, is that politically possible? I mean, if you were sitting in government buildings, would you be advising the government to do that, really, with an election in the offing?
Well, what I would do, if I were advising them, I'd say we'll have a referendum on the matter. We will lay out the pros and cons of both sides, and there will be tax increases if we have to keep Irish water on the books. There will be tax cuts if we don't. We'll have a vote on the matter and decide it that way. That would be one way to sort of cut the Gordian knot.
Really? Where exactly did you develop your logic? A person who can afford to pay a water tax, then it's a non-issue. What about all the poor people? You have a lot of them in Ireland. The Celtic Tiger has no teeth. It's gone. It's done. It had its moment. So you're going to go in there and punish all those people by saying, well, you know, if they can't afford the tax, cut off their water. Really nice spiritual thinking there. Not. And finally, CDC scientist Bill Thompson, who I personally think should be sued by everyone who can. and everyone else that was a part of his team. The fact that he has acknowledged this is only because he found out his conversation was recorded, so he acknowledged it. That does not make him a hero or a nice guy. Listen in.
Vaccines are safe. Autism is not a side effect of vaccine, or to say it another way, because some people don't hear this well, vaccines do not cause autism. Vaccines do not cause autism. Vaccines do not cause autism.
Vaccines do not cause autism.
My name is Polly Tommy, and my son was damaged by vaccines. Some people don't hear this well. My son has autism from vaccines.
Vaccines do not cause autism.
That was the wrong clip, but we'll get you the correct clip. Anyhow, vaccines do cause autism. And I'm surprised. I don't know what's happened to the left in America. Maybe it's lost its courage. Maybe it's lost its interest. But do your homework before you give us your opinion. Your opinion is worth nothing without facts to back it up. And an attitude does not in any way substitute for facts. The U.S. government, under its own extremely rigid program, very difficult to win, has settled over 63 cases where parents have been given millions of dollars each because of brain-damaged, autism-related vaccine injury. So the actual governmental agency is acknowledging it and has for a long time. And then the other agency of government, the CDC, that is engaged in an over-corruption, it is one of the most putrid agencies in history. It should be completely closed down. The entire agency and every single employee told, go get a real job now. And go to the industries that you've been living through, because these are utterly corrupt people. And they lied, and they were caught, and they obstructed justice, and they were caught. And they had statistics showing that autism and vaccines, the MMR vaccine, were related, especially among African Americans, and they were caught. So why is it people on the left, including on Pacifica, are still saying, well, there's what? Where is your science? We have ours. And since when did you become anti-women and women's rights? Because when you tell a woman, well, the doctor says there's no connection, and there's 2 million American women who said, but my child took the vaccines and developed autism, you're going to accept a scientist who received Julie Gerberding, who was head of the CDC's vaccine division, went to work for Merck and got just sold $3 million in stock. You believe her, and you don't believe 2 million women? You don't believe these women understand their children? The hypocrisy is so palpable, and you wonder why you have no audience? Why no one listens anymore? That's one of the reasons. Well, just add anti-women and mother rights and mother insight and mother intuition and mother knowledge to the long list of indifferences that we see in America today. Nice to have you with us, Gerald Salante.
Hello, Gary Noel.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You know what you were talking about with Ireland, by the way? One of the reasons, or the major reason they raised the or put on a tax on water was the austerity measures. It was totally illegal. The Irish Anglo Bank went bust along with a number of others when the panic of 08 hit, and they forced the people to bail out the other banks that made bad loans. And that's all this is. This is more punishing the people for the bad loans that the banks made during the build-up to the panic of 08, that big charade of juicing the real estate markets and giving people loans that couldn't afford to buy homes, et cetera, and all the derivatives and the other dirty dealings. So once again, the people have to pay. That's all this is about. I was in Ireland when it was happening. I remember very clearly about it. And what an outrage it is. But as you also said, where's the courage of people to stand up and fight for injustices. Every day a new one is shoved down our throat, and people take it, or they defend it.
Zero Hedge, back in August, reported how many prominent economists and analysts, including Nouriel Roubini, Kyle Bass, David Stockman, and yourself, warned that if business remains as usual, we are heading to a World War III. Could you discuss what you see the World Economic Forum at Davos this year, how that, those individuals, where we're going, how this could lead to both a World War III and the Great Depression?
Well, when you have to put the trends together and tie them together. So just briefly, you have commodity prices now at 19-year lows. It's not only oil. It's nickel, it's iron ore, it's copper, it's aluminum, it's zinc. There's too much product and not enough demand. What does that mean? Put another level on top of it with the destabilization in the Middle East. The Americans, along with the Saudis, assisting them, destroying Yemen. The wars going on in Iraq, never-ending, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya. Look at the refugee crisis that was caused by this that nobody's talking about. Go back to commodities. Add on the refugee crisis, and now add on to it a migration crisis, a human wave the likes of which you've never seen. So you have, for example, they just devalued the peso in Argentina. It just lost 30% of its value, which means the people are going to have to pay a lot more for a lot less. You have inflation running at 200% in Venezuela as oil prices continue to decline. You now have Saudi Arabia. They need oil at $100 a barrel. It's down to $37 to break even. Now they're cutting back. They're also issuing bonds. They're also expanding their war fronts. Put the pieces together. Go back to 1940, the greatest refugee crisis in the last 100 years. We had 2.5 billion people on the planet, World War II. We have added another 5 billion. So now you have refugees leaving because of bombed out countries. You have migrants leaving from Angola, Congo, South Africa, from south of the border to Cape Town. They're moving north. So now you're going to see destabilization increase in more and more nations. When all else fails, they take you to war. It's a replay of the 1920s into the 1930s. Listen to what they're all saying about the prospects for a never-ending war on terror. Look at what they're doing to intensify the wars. The United States is now expanding troops into not only beyond the Middle East, now into Africa to fight those ISISs. So the wars are expanding. Look what happened after San Bernardino. The slaughter that happened there. You look at the polls now. It's not the economy that's number one on the people's minds, even though they can't make a buck or pay the debt, as you were talking about earlier. It's now terror. So they flip the switch immediately when terror comes into focus. It happened with George Bush. He was hitting 50% in office only 7-8 months before 9/11. He was so unpopular. His popularity rating went up to almost 90% after 9/11. Take a trip to France, the same thing with Hollande after the destruction that happened from the latest terrorist strike in France. His popularity was the lowest in the Fifth Republic, and now he's back up on top. So that's what we're seeing. As the economies fail, a global recession, increase in wars, migration pressures, and it will be the last world war. It will be the war that Einstein talked about when they asked him, what weapons will be used to fight the third world war? He said, I don't know. But the fourth will be fought with sticks and stones.
Hillary Clinton claims that she's going to close 50,000 public schools. And, quote, Hillary Clinton said the following: this school district and these schools throughout Iowa are doing a better than average job. Now, I would not keep any school open that wasn't doing a better than average job. If a school's not doing a good job, then, you know, that may not be good for the kids. and therefore she would close them. Well, according to the U.S. Department of Education, there are 98,000 public schools in the United States as of last year, and therefore she would close 50,000 schools. Iowa has more than 500,000 students enrolled in public K to 12 schools in the state. And according to the National Educational Association, a national union, the NEA estimates 35,000 teachers are employed by the Iowa schools. And during her remarks, Clinton did not state which specific performance metrics she would use to determine whether a school was performing adequately or not. She did not say where children who had been attending an average or below average school shut down by her administration would go for their educational needs, though she's a big supporter of charter schools. And at the same time, she has the head of the teachers union on her side. Seems like an enormous contradiction, but this is a big issue that no one's paying any attention to.
What system that the government is involved in works? The public school system, the college system, the environment, healthcare, it's one failure after another. So what are they going to fix? What are they going to improve? No Child Left Behind? Every president comes up with their phony scam in trying to improve the public school system, and it's a total disaster. If it wasn't a total disaster and college meant anything and it was working, do you think we'd be in the problems that we have today if we had a truly educated society capable of thinking for themselves, acting on their own, and creating their future? So it's just more political talk. And where's she talking from? She's talking from Iowa. So what they do in politics is you secure the base of the ones you want to get the votes from, and then you forget about it once you secure that base. You don't need anything clearer than Obama running for hope and change you can believe in. Remember, after we went into the Sun Belt, the Rust Belt, he was going to revisit NAFTA, folks. Instead, he gave us, folks, the Trans-Pacific Partnership and never revisited NAFTA. Going to close down Guantanamo. Folks, my first day in office. Folks, you look at one lie after another. So, no, this is what they do, Gary. As a guy that used to run political campaigns, it was my specialty for many years, I know exactly the way they work. They just say these things to win over the core and then just drop it.
Final thought. We have right now approximately 1 million refugees, as you said, for different causes, civil war in some cases, no economic advantage in other cases, a regime change in Syria and Libya, but they're now migrating towards Europe. Europe is ill-prepared to handle or assimilate these people. This does not include the great cause of migration and conflict, a lack of water, the desertification of the planet, excessive storms, excessive weather. We're seeing now in Northern Ireland and Northern England and Ireland, Scotland and Wales, the worst rain in their history, flooding. We're seeing extreme weather events all over the world, and no one's planning on what's going to happen when refugees by the millions have to move, have nowhere to go, and no resources for them when they get there. What's the likely outcome of that happening?
Well, it's very likely. By the way, when people ask me about climate change and you look at the polls in America, we're the country that's lowest in concern about climate change. So rather than trying to open people's minds up, I simply say, do you think that dumping trillions of tons of poisons into the earth, into the water, and into the air is going to have an adverse effect? And that's where I drop it. So going on to what about the migration problem, yes, because you're looking at severe drought conditions throughout Africa. You're looking at them as and other weather conditions that are destabilizing places around the world. So when you put that on top of the migration because of the loss of commodity prices in countries that were barely sustaining themselves anyway, plus the wars, you look at what's going on with the new third parties gaining strength throughout Europe. Particularly, just look what's going on in Poland now. They won't take refugees coming in. And that new government that they just elected is turning their back on the EU. So you're going to see more and more crises erupt because of climate change, because of geopolitical tensions, an economic disaster as well.
I only have 30 seconds left. Real quick answer, please. Do you see us going into a major depression in the European Union and in the United States in the next 12 to 24 months?
It's a global recession. It's already begun. I just went through all the commodity prices. You have iron ore, for example. A ton was selling at almost $200 a ton back in 2011. It's down to about $40 a ton. So what I'm saying is you can see the lack of demand for the product is showing you the global recession is already underway. And they have no way out because they've played all their cards with negative interest rates and 0% interest rates.
Okay. I appreciate this. And again, more of this information in great detail you can get every single month from the Trends Journal. And could you tell them where they can get the Trends Journal?
Yes, Trends Journal, TrendsResearch.com, TrendsResearch.com. And also, if you go onto our site, you can get our top trends for 2016.
Great. Thank you, Gerald.
Thank you,
Gary. And we'll hear from Gerald Salante in a month from now. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.